website. Nobody knows. You are unaware of any senator who accepted money from this PAC, which came from the GoFundMe account, and either directly or indirectly. Those are my questions. Does anyone else have questions? Anybody? Yes.
No, Mr. Chair, I may have a couple questions.
Just a moment. I think Commissioner Day had his hand.
I'll yield to Commissioner.
Okay, Commissioner Fiskum?
Seriously, I was only going to say that the questions I might have might be better asked after Mr. DiLorenzo completes his presentation. When that would, at your discretion, I want to wait until I hear what the legal counsel says before I ask a couple questions. So thank you.
No, by all means, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator, for being here. We really appreciate it. With respect to the tweet and your staff, can you help us understand what kind of training, if any, happens with your staff on Oregon ethics laws? And the sort of guidance that was put out in the caucus meeting, was that also shared with your staff?
Yes, because staff always joins us in the caucus meeting, so they were present, whether they're, you know, part of the conversation or not, you know, directly with the caucus, I can't remember. As far as the tweet, the training, you know, we have some verbal rules that everything on a tweet must be positive, it must be within the guidelines and everything. And that tweet seems like it's a snapshot off of Facebook, and how that all works is beyond me, okay? My chief of staff is trying to figure out, we're actually trying to find out what machine tweeted that. That's where we're at right now. Whether we get there or not, I have no idea. I don't know how that world works. But I don't tweet, you know, and like I said, that Twitter account is only supposed to be used for positive things out to the community. And if you follow all the Twitter, ever since I've had it in 2013, it's not used very much. But for some reason during that span, it was used a lot. And I don't know if somebody got our Twitter account info from former employees or not. I don't know. We're trying to get to the bottom. I don't know if they can track it to the machine or not.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Senator. And yes, thank you for being here today. So, Mr. DiLorenzo, whatever you'd like to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just have a few comments. First of all, with respect to the GoFundMe account, I have very little information about it. I would say that when the Republican caucus, Senate Republican caucus, decided that it would deprive the Senate of a quorum, there was a significant amount of publicity associated with that, especially when the less than a quorum of Senate members determined that they would enlist the support of the state police to help bring back the senators to the Capitol. That created a firestorm of interest in certain sectors of Oregon. And many people on their own determined that they were going to be supportive of the absent senators, including the people who organized on their own this GoFundMe account. I can tell you that our first instructions to the caucus members were to not accept any money whatsoever from any other source other than their own personal resources for the expenses incurred in being absent from the Capitol and travel back and forth. So that was number one. Number two, do not accept any GoFundMe account money because my own view is that there are significant questions as to whether those can be political contributions, since the manner in which they were amassed would not have complied with our contributions and expenditure reporting regime. And number three, to the extent that the GoFundMe account is deposited into a PAC, as far as I'm concerned, that PAC's funds are also questionable because once tainted, they're all tainted. And so it is my understanding that the caucus members have been, Senator Bertschiger is kind when he says requested, I mean, I think instructed, to not accept any money from any of those sources, period. With respect to the actual evidence in the case, I think other than the tweet, which, you know, I don't know much about tweeting either. Frankly, I don't know how to tweet. And I don't even know much about Facebook. I know about phone book, but I don't know much about Facebook. But the point is that that certainly was not the senator's intention to encourage anyone to do any more than to provide political support to senators, and if they wanted to make campaign contributions to their PACs, they were welcome to. There's no Senate rule that prescribes the ability of a sitting state senator, even during the session, to solicit campaign contributions. And so to the extent people wanted to be supportive, they were welcome to contribute to their campaign committees. And that is all the senator intended. And he didn't send the tweet. We're trying to get to the bottom of that. I think the evidence is also clear that the senator paid for every dime of his expenses while away from the Capitol, with one exception, and that is the flight that was contributed by Seneca to return him back to Salem to meet with Governor Brown on her timeline so they could negotiate terms for the return of the absent senators. Now, I'd like to refer you to page 9 of the preliminary review, because I think this sort of sets out the legal position. Best place to start is at page 10, right up at the top. And let me preface this by saying, you know, I've been around this area for quite some time, and with all due respect, I cannot imagine any court that would view the application of the law to these facts any differently than as we've laid out here. First of all, ORS 260.4071 provides that amounts received as contributions by a candidate, the principal campaign committee of the candidate, or the principal campaign committee of a holder of public office may be used to defray any expenses incurred in connection with the recipient's duties as a holder of public office. Now, what was the purpose of the flight? The flight was to return Senator Bertschiger to Salem to negotiate the return of the absent senators with the governor. I believe there can be no question that the purpose of the flight was to accommodate his meeting with the governor for the purposes of negotiating the return of the whole caucus prior to sine die, which means it was necessarily to further his duties as a holder of public office. That's exactly what he was doing, and what a campaign contribution can be used to help defray as an expense. Secondly, contributions, as defined in 260.005, include in-kind contributions. Okay? Therefore, the value of the flight reported as an in-kind contribution to his principal campaign committee can be used to defray his costs for pursuing his duties as a holder of public office, which is exactly what that contribution was used to do. One other point, I think the evidence is also clear that no promises have been made to any member of his family. Other than this particular in-kind contribution, 100% of his expenses were paid by himself personally. And there is another PAC that's mentioned, the Oregon Firearms Federation. Those individuals wished to assist, and they were told that if they wanted to assist, the best way to do so would be to contribute to the senator's political campaigns. And as far as I know, any of those contributions made, if any, would have gone directly to the principal campaign committees of the senators. That is a totally allowable function. And again, there is, unlike the House, there is no Senate rule that prohibits the solicitation of campaign contributions during the session. And I would just also say the reason that is the case is because there's an Attorney General's opinion that makes it clear that it would be unconstitutional for a statute to prohibit the solicitation of campaign contributions during a legislative session. The House nevertheless passed a House rule to prohibit it. The Senate decided, why have a Senate rule prohibiting what would really be unconstitutional if challenged? So those are my comments, and I hope this places the legal context in place for you, because I think it will be applicable to some of the other cases that you're going to be considering too. Other than that, thank you, and if you have any questions for me, I'm my client or I are delighted to respond.
Any questions? Commissioner Fiskum.
Quickly, ahead of a couple of my colleagues, I got forwarded just this question, but just to DeLorenzo and some of the material described to you in our documents, I think our page numbers may be off in terms of the page numbers you have and the page numbers we have, okay. But can you talk to me about what I labeled process issues? At some point you've contended that this complaint issue wasn't right for our jurisdiction in light of certain facts. If you could mention those, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I think the reason those were mentioned was because when the complaint was filed, the legislature was still in session.
Right.
And my question of staff was whether the commission would have jurisdiction to process this. At the time, we were anticipating the possibility of a special session occurring right on the heels of the conclusion of the regular session. And so I think at this point, most of those issues have become moot because of the fact that there was no special session and just time transpiring. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Additional questions? Oh, Commissioner Keene.
Senator Bershker, thank you for being here. I've got a question for staff, actually, prompted by this. Ms. Myers, is the only distinguishing facts in this case, and I know we haven't talked about the other ones. Sorry, Ms. Gould. Is the only distinguishing facts in this case versus the other ones that I know we haven't yet discussed, but those are the recommended action is to dismiss those complaints. Is it the tweet and the plane ride?
Yeah, just the explicit solicitation of gifts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Thank you. I'll try to put my name tag down.
I have to be honest. I don't pay as much attention to the nameplates as I should, so I'll try to do better.
Senator, thank you again, as others have said, for being here, and Mr. DeLorenzo, good to see you again. I've got a question about the tweet, which at least is one pivot for our discussion, not the only one, perhaps, but. My question is if a tweet, Senator, emerged from your office, even though you have said, I appreciate your comment, you don't know who sent it, that you didn't, if it emerges from your office, are you responsible for it?
Absolutely. I would like to also interject something here. Prior to our decision to deny quorum, I will have to tell you that the Senate Majority Leader came into my office and said, if you leave, we're going to send the state police, we're going to fine you, and we're going to file ethics complaints. So by me being in this room, it's not a surprise. And because she said that, that was discussed with our caucus very clearly, that if we decide to do this, that we have got to be, just as clean as the driven snow, because we know everybody's watching us. And to the best of my knowledge, everybody was. And we acknowledged that. We knew this was coming. And we knew this was probably going to come. And it did. So none of this surprises me at all. But I don't think any of us, myself or any of our caucus members, tried to offset their personal expenses by any means outside of their own checkbook. And I truly believe that because we had that conversation. It was very clear.
Commissioner Fiskin.
One more question for staff or legal counsel or executive director. With regard to the $50 gift limit statute, I haven't read the statute in the last moments, which is why I asked the question. Does the prohibition relate to soliciting gifts above that limit and accepting gifts above that limit, or one or the other, or both?
It applies to both, and that's the legal difficulty in this case, aside from the factual issue that we're hearing, I think, for the first time, is that it does prohibit directly or indirectly soliciting or accepting gifts, but the prohibition is against soliciting or accepting gifts above $50 from someone who you have reason to know or reasonably should know has a legislative or administrative interest in your decision making. And this is a difficult legal question in this case, because we have a rule that says you can't receive a gift in excess of that and say, well, I was ignorant about who the source was or that they had a legislative or administrative interest. But this GoFundMe situation really raises people. If you do a tweet and you say contribute to this account and people are contributing anonymously, you don't know whether they have an interest. You don't know how much each individual is giving. You don't know if they're giving more than once. Is there a violation? It's an interesting question that maybe the law needs to reflect, or we need to change the rules or something to make clear, because I'm sure it's not the intent of the legislature to allow people to solicit anonymous donations and say, oh, it wasn't $50, and I'm sure that wasn't the intent.
Mr. Chair, quick follow-up, which is at best tangentially related to what's before us. As I understand that law, it has no application to the givers of such gifts. It is only the receivers of such, the solicitation or receipt of such gifts.
You mean the offerer?
The offerer.
That was held to be unconstitutional. It did apply to the offerer.
Initially, the law did, but
held that was unconstitutional as applied to the offerors. It didn't consider
First Amendment issue?
Yeah. Article 1, Section 8.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chair, I thought, mind you, that was my case. And the Supreme Court gave us half a loaf.
I thought they all were.
No, the Supreme Court gave us half a loaf. They basically said it would be a violation of the Constitution to prohibit lobbyists from offering gifts, but not from office holders from accepting them. I suggested that if this is all speech, you're saying I can clap with one hand, which didn't make any sense to me, but that's how the court ended up coming down. If I could make one more comment that I think is related, and that is because the complainant here is suggesting that by absenting themselves from the Capitol, the senators who were absent were not performing their duties. And I would like to address that for a second. I thoroughly disagree. I believe that denying the Senate a quorum is as much a part of the process as any, for several reasons. Number one, if it wasn't, it would be a crime or it would be a civil offense, and it is not. It is merely a procedural issue. And number two, great things have happened in the past. I did some research, and the first time this was used, this process was used in Oregon, goes back to 1897. At the turn of the century, and you can find this on the Secretary of State's website, at the turn of the century, Oregon did not have an initiative or a referendum process. And there was a fellow who had an unfortunate last name, U-apostrophe-R-E-N, Mr. U-Ren, who was an advocate of the initiative and the referendum. And the only way to get an initiative and referendum was to ask the legislature for it. And the legislature was not inclined to allow the citizenry the ability to bypass the legislature. And so Mr. Uren formed the Populist Party and was successful in electing a number of members such that with his other allies, he was able to deny the 1897 legislature a quorum. And the 1897 legislature never met. And it wasn't until the governor panicked and said, we have to have a balanced budget, that a deal was made, and the legislature was called into special session, and the populace showed up because they had a deal. And the deal was, if they attended and allowed the legislature to organize, the legislature would refer to the voters a constitutional amendment for an initiative and a referendum, and it passed overwhelmingly. And that is why we have an initiative and referendum process in Oregon, because of this process. Years later, the Democrats walked out over a redistricting bill. Governor Brown, who took such umbrage at this walkout, was the first to justify that walkout. And so, you know, I would like to propose, even to those who feel that denying a quorum is not part of a legislative function, what would happen if this was the state of Mississippi or Missouri? You know, Missouri and Mississippi recently passed laws to make abortion a crime. Now, don't tell me for one moment that if radical conservatives in this state took control of the legislature and made abortion a crime, that the Democrats, if they had an opportunity to deprive the legislature of a quorum, would not walk out on that existential an issue. Well, what is an existential issue? It's in the minds of the beholders. To the constituents who Senator Berkshire represents, the carbon tax was that kind of an issue, worth asserting what is a parliamentary technique. And so I do believe not only the return, but the walkout itself was all part of the process. It's all part of the performance of duties, because they didn't do it just to upset somebody. They did it to attain a legislative result. And it's the legislative result that they, in fact, attained. So I just want to put that on the record.
Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you. I have a different question I'm going to ask one real quick of our staff. Appreciate the history lesson, Mr. DiLorenzo, but the issue of the walkout and alleged dereliction of duty, is that an issue before this commission?
No.
That's what I thought. So my next question relates to the GoFundMe account and the gift questions that Mr. Fiskum was going, the line of questioning he's going down. I don't know enough about this technology. Does it limit the contributions that individuals can make to it?
Does the GoFundMe?
Yeah, the GoFundMe.
Not that I'm
no.
aware of.
Okay.
No.
And if it did, just hypothetically, if there was a mechanism to limit the contribution to $50, Would we be looking at, from a staff perspective, the gift being the individual contributions into the GoFundMe account, or is the gift the aggregate amount that moves over?
That's an excellent question, and the Ethics Commission rule says that the source of a gift is the ultimate payer. There's an Attorney General opinion that precedes it that says that the aggregate and the individual are both considered for gift analysis. I think that predates the rule.
I ask because, you know, I recognize in this day and age an active citizenry in democracy is a good thing, and that these mechanisms certainly allow people to do that, and they're going to do it of their own accord. Although, you know, I don't think that there's any allegations, and because of the good counsel that the senator gave to his caucus, nobody accepted these funds, so, you know, it doesn't sound like that issue is going to get ferreted out necessarily in this case. But I do think that this is something as a commission we should take a good look at, because this is probably not the first time we're going to see this type of activity, whether it's for political contributions or perhaps it's or for political purposes to pay for expenses, or perhaps an elected official becomes and somebody out of the kindness of their heart says, well, let's create a GoFundMe account to help pay for their medical bills. Again, that aggregate gift issue, I think, is something in this, you know, the state age is certainly an issue we should take a look at.
Yeah. By the way, in interest of full disclosure, I have an active GoFundMe account right now to help raise money for very expensive surgery for our dog. It's not political, but since we're talking about GoFundMe and I have an active account, I thought I should disclose that. Yeah. Commissioner Keene.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner O'Day, for raising those points. I think we actually have faced this once before, at least in my tenure, when there was somebody who was getting anonymous gifts through Facebook, I believe, and we required, I thought, at least there's the precedent that we've required that the recipient of the gift must take steps to know whether or not the giver has a legislative or administrative interest if it's over $50, otherwise cannot take it. It's not before us right here, and I do believe we will be having to follow that up, and I don't want to get into that right now because I think we don't have the guidance for it, and perhaps in the future GoFundMe or those things are going to have, if it's for a political for a public official, a place that the person's name and what their business is can be stated. But because it's not before us, I just appreciate fleshing that out and noting that it's not before us right now. My question again is for Ms. Gould. With respect to the private plane, one of the, which I know we just got this information just now, one of the things that the staff report states that we would look into is to attempt to determine whether the travel is a campaign contribution, and it's about whether the Secretary of State considers it. But to the extent that I'm not sure how we should treat that part about whether it's circular for the Secretary of State to first determine whether something is a campaign contribution or whether we determine whether it's a gift. But this transaction detail from Orstar, would that be sufficient for you to at least conclude that this is a campaign contribution?
I would think so. It's accepted into the... That's what... One of the things that was hard about this case was that the complaint was filed with both the Secretary of State and with us.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the Secretary of State's what they've concluded or determined is campaign contributions, and that's not, I mean, we can't really get into that, but they're kind of intertwined in this complaint. So if they've determined that this is a campaign contribution, that is excluded from the gifts.
And Mr. DiLorenzo, do you know if they have concluded that?
Well, I haven't received any word whatsoever about that the Secretary of State's side of this complaint, but the Orstar has certainly accepted an in-kind contribution, and frankly, I don't see how it can be anything else. I think it's pure and simple a campaign contribution, and if it is, it's exempted from the definition of a gift.
Okay. I think that, you know, for me, this case comes down to what I would call an errant tweet. Regardless of what I personally, I'm proud that this commission has been apolitical, in my view, even when we have had very political subjects coming before us. And I don't like when the Ethics Commission is used as a gotcha. And I hesitate to find one senator to have been gotcha'd for one tweet that sounds as if, I mean, it was somewhat harmless error because it was recalled and there were no campaign contributions or there were no gifts accepted from the GoFundMe. I think it's incumbent on all of us who are over a certain age and don't know how to tweet to whatever the next thing is, to learn about it and instruct our staff or whomever might be out there. But I also feel like I don't want to be used as, you know, like this. I feel like the corrective actions were taken by you in your office to not accept anything. And I would hate to have us open investigation because of all of the political reporting that will entail about something that I think is really harmless error and a mistake that is very understandable, and although came out of your office, and as you said, you take responsibility for it, I also think it was a mistake that shouldn't rise to the level of opening up an Ethics Commission investigation. I think what the investigation would, if you can ultimately trace down to, it'll be some person, young person in your office who sent it. And I just hesitate to have our commission used that way. I hesitate also to create a precedent where you can just say some kid visited my office and I know it wasn't me and I'll be better next time. So that's why I do think it's incumbent that we train our staff really well and say whatever's out there, kids, you know, don't do it. We can't solicit. But I guess because to me this case comes down to that one thing, I really feel hesitant to single you out for actions that seem to be, regardless of my personal feeling about them, that you all did take really strong steps to stay above the board. So that's my personal feeling here.
I have things to say about that as well, but I'll wait till we get into general discussion. The speaker list now is Commissioner Sosa, our legal counsel, and Commissioner Fiscom.
I'll defer to counsel because I think she may address part of the question that I asked.
The floor is yours.
We'll see.
We'll see what I say.
As I thought it, you raised your thing, and I went, oh, okay.
I just wanted to respond to Commissioner Keene's question about the in-kind contribution. The way I look at this as a legal matter is that contribution was reported to his principal campaign committee, and that goes, I think that's all the Secretary of State will look at there, and then the way they'll decide whether that was was that a proper use of campaign funds, just like the issue on if they did take money for travel expenses, is that a proper expenditure? So I feel like once it's been properly reported to the Secretary of State's office, we're not looking at it.
Thank you for that clarification.
Commissioner Sosa.
So with that, Ms. Gould, now that we have that information and based on what you've heard today, I just in looking at the end of the report, you say that you are looking to obtain more facts about the donations, more facts about potential solicitation, obviously the Secretary of State, which it sounds like they're handling this issue of the flight. Is there any additional information you feel you need that you don't currently have?
No.
Commissioner Fiscom.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd like to primarily associate myself with Ms. Keene's remarks about fear of or questions about being used for certain political purposes. This is a different kind of issue to come before us, and I share Ms. Keene's hesitancy. That said, I don't believe we have the option of taking the action I would like to take, which is to send letters of education to 11 senators to apprise them of important issues and do that now. I refuse to call that, as Ms. Alpaugh smiles at me and Mr. Merson smiles at me and raises his plaque. I'm declining to call that a letter of education. I'm going to call it something else. We're learning, perhaps everybody's learning some issues perspectives through this experience, but I share Mr. Keene's hesitancy to assert an action to investigate something more in light of the, as she well says, the errant tweet. Thank you.
Our director would like to speak.
Commissioner Starr, go ahead, sir.
Commissioner Starr. Senator Vice Commissioner Starr.
That's hard to do.
As one who is well known for strong political views, I am so convinced that this commission has acted apolitically, that they have sought the facts, acted on the facts, and that we have ruled in a way that has not been political. And I'm mighty thankful for that, as an individual whose late in life gets a chance to serve the state once more. It's been a privilege for me to serve with individuals who don't use this for political purposes. That's all.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. So just a quick comment here. So I appreciate what everybody's saying here, and I really want Mr. DiLorenzo and Senator Bearsugar to know that this office is also proactive at times too. And first of all, as far as the education goes that Commissioner Fiskin talked about, it sounds like the Senate caucus was pretty well educated beforehand and said stay away from these problems. But I will tell you that this office and myself, as soon as that GoFundMe account actually hit the press, I called Legislative Counsel Dan Gilbert over there to talk to him about be very cautious about these funds for a GoFundMe because of the problems that we've all discussed today. So I want you folks as commissioners to know and the senators to know that this office doesn't just kind of sit back and hope you fall into the bear trap so that we can, you know, we can get you before us. So I know that you were kind of threatened with the idea that you were there was going to be ethics complaints, but I will tell you the actual ethics commission, which I run day in and day out, was on the phone trying to prevent that from happening. So I really think that's important to have on the record that this, and it's not just myself, I know my staff like that all the time. When we see potential problems, we're getting a hold of people and making sure that and like I say, we offered up if they had questions, give us a call. So I just wanted that on the record.
Thank you very much. I wanted to wait.
Thank you.
I wanted to wait until everyone else had commented before I offered my comments. But to me, I've been this fray insofar as I've had political action committees myself. I've had lots of interactions with the Secretary of State over lots of different kind of contributions. And one of the things that affects me is the fact that you took a lot of action to try and prevent this before the tweet, as well as recalling and acting responsibly after the tweet. It would look a lot worse if you hadn't done the work and then the tweet had gone out, and then when you realized something had been wrong, then you would have tried to do it. So I also have had my Gmail broken into in the past, and perhaps it was a poorly trained staff member, perhaps it was a hack, who knows, maybe we'll never know. But this one inconsistency, it's like action, 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 tweet, action, 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 it just doesn't make any sense. Combined with the fact that the money never landed in your PAC or anybody else's PAC associated with this. I agree with what Commissioner says about people using the Ethics Commission for political goals. I would like to, at this point, unless there's more questions, I've said my piece. So unless there are more questions, Commissioner Sosa.
This is just something that I was curious as I read this, and maybe Ms. Alpaw can comment on it. One of the questions that was asked of senators was, did you solicit any donations to defray your costs during the last 10 days of the legislative session other than campaign contributions? What's the significance of the last 10 days? I mean,
when they were gone.
Okay.
It was the walkout.
What I mean is, if they were soliciting to defray their costs once they got back, you get what I mean?
Yes, I do get what you mean.
So meaning that, you know, you've incurred this money on your credit card, you've come back now, and now it's like, oh, hey, yeah, you guys are back now. Yeah, boy, I had all this money on my credit card. Anything you could do?
Fair point. It should have been a broader question.
I was curious about that because I was like, what? I get that they were gone for 10 days, but I'm like, soliciting the gift at any time for that would be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think it was guided by the complaint. The complaint was filed immediately, a few days after they left.
Okay. I was just curious about that.
That was kind of a spur.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Thank you. Just to kind of highlight some thoughts that is kind of over-encompassing a couple things that I think the commission may comment on. As a legislature, there may has to be some legislation to clear up some of the stuff, okay, is where I'm going at. And two of my concerns are these GoFundMe accounts. Until this incident happened, I didn't know what a GoFundMe account was. But I was smart enough to know that if it's not going through Overstar, it's probably not good, period. Okay? But when you think, now that I've had time to kind of investigate how this mechanism works, there's nothing to stop a GoFundMe account to a group or an organization, and then all of a sudden that organization makes a donation. Okay, so this is all new to all of us. This is all new before, this has come after these laws and statutes have been put in place. So it's something we're going to have to address. You know, we have, first of all, we don't want anybody not to have access to the political environment. I mean, that's just your free speech. So how do we do that and merge it into, you know, transparency? That is a question that we need to try to answer. The other thing that is very disturbing, and anybody that knows me in the Capitol, whether you agree or disagree with my politics, I will think that most senators, including the Senate President, would say Senator Bertschinger is also very concerned of the institution of the Senate. Okay? Denying a quorum is something, that is a big decision. And you really have to struggle with it because I don't want to say it's a nuclear option. I believe it's part of the system, but it's not a good part of the system or the process, let me tell you. The other thing that's happening in the Capitol, and if you follow the newspapers, is the weaponizing of the human resource department. And that is an ongoing, we've tried to address it time and time and time again because there's fairness and you have to have fairness and everybody has to be treated equal, but at the same time, some people take advantage of that process and weaponize it. And I'm starting to see that with the Ethics Commission, and I'll just be blank about it. Mm-hmm. And I just told you what the senator, what the majority leader told me. That so ethics, point, before any of this happened, I was told there will be ethics complaints. No idea what those complaints are going to be, but there are going to be ethics complaints. In my mind, that is weaponizing the Ethics Commission. And with that, I'll shut up before John hits me over the head.
Thank you, Senator. Anything else from any of the commissioners? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we dismiss this complaint.
Okay. Commissioner Keene moves that we dismiss the complaint. We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom.
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Yes. Well, now you can have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes,
thank you.
And I please, any time that the commission wants to address the problems that I, or comment on them, please feel, you know, free to do so, because somewhere along the line, we're probably going to have to create some statutes to clear this up.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you
all for giving us this extended time. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just want to add a quick comment for the record. I do this on occasion, but I want to compliment our staff, Ms. Gould, for the work that was done under a tight time frame in an unusually difficult political issue.
A surrealistic environment.
So, my support for a decision to dismiss does not go to the character of her work to get us as far as we got. I just want to compliment her on that work. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, it is 10:18. If nobody objects, we'll do a 7-minute and 21-second bathroom break.
Got it. So, your previous chair called it the bio break.
The bio break. Yeah. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I'm going to bring us back. We're out of recess. I don't know if we stuck to the time constraint or not, but we are back in executive session.
Okay.
And the next item will be that of number 53, Senator Benz.
Well,
we should be able to hammer through this pretty fast. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think... before I make the motion, I think we resolved one of my questions, which was if we actually conducted an investigation on item number 52 and we found something related to the next 10, what problem would that create for us? And the answer is nothing, because we dismissed 52, and in that spirit, supporting that, I will recommend we dismiss item 53 involving Senator Cliff Benz.
Okay. We can save Ms. Gould some time. Yes. So, yes.
You have a question. There were 4 senators who didn't respond to the question, or at least not in time. Did you solicit any donations to defray your costs? Ms. Gould, have they responded to that since?
No.
Okay, that was my only thing that jumped out at me, was that 4 of them just didn't reply to that question, but it said at the time the report was prepared.
Yeah,
so I just wondered if anything's come in since that.
Okay. So are you making a motion, Commissioner Fiskum?
Yes, I would just have a quick response to my friend,
Commissioner
Sosa. I think the senator from whom we heard this morning said all of the members of his caucus were apprised of that instruction and had accepted that, and I would be willing to take him at his word. That's my proposal to dismiss on Senator Benz. Good question, though.
Okay. Yes, I will say he did. Senator Benz was the only one that responded after the deadline. I mean, after the report was written, but he did not.
Okay. So there's a motion before us. No objections, so we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, complaint is dismissed. Now we go to the matter of number 54, Senator Brian Boquist. Okay, Commissioner Starr moves that we dismiss the complaint. We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
I recuse from this. Does that count as an abstention or just nothing? Yes. Abstain.
Motion passes 5 with 1 abstention.
Okay, is dismissed. Next one, number 55, the matter of Senator Girard.
I move to dismiss the complaint.
Commissioner Keene so moves. We go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Charges dismissed.
I'll move to dismiss the complaint against Senator Bill Hansel, item number 56.
You are ahead of me. It is so moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Commissioner Hansel is in the clear. Next one, Commissioner Hurd. Senator Hurd.
Mr. Chair, same motion to dismiss the complaint against Senator Dallas Hurd.
Okay, so moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Commissioner Hurd is in the clear. Commissioner Knope.
Mr. Chair, same motion that moves that the commission dismiss the complaint against Senator Tim Knope.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Abstain.
Motion passes 5-1 abstention.
Okay, so it is dismissed. Senator Linthicum.
Mr. Chair, same motion. I move that the commission dismiss the complaint against Senator Dennis Linthicum.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Abstain.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
It is dismissed. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, same motion. I move the commission dismiss the complaint relative to Senator Alan Olson.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. The complaint is dismissed. Senator Kim Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, same motion. Move the commission dismiss the complaint against Senator Kim Thatcher.
So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Chair abstain.
Burke? Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Complaint is dismissed. Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chair, same motion. I move the commission dismiss the complaint relative to Senator Chuck Thompson.
Okay. It's been so moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Complaint is dismissed. Now we're going to circle back around to number 50, the matter of Paul Cieslak. I apologize if I pronounced that incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Staff report, please.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Dr. Cieslak is the medical director with the Oregon Health Authority's Practice Center. He testified during the recent legislative session on a bill which would have eliminated non-medical exemptions for state-required vaccinations for children to attend school or child care. In answer to a question, Dr. Cieslak testified that an 8-year-old child who was unvaccinated could catch up within 6 months and be sufficiently vaccinated to attend school if the bill passed. The complaint alleged that Dr. Cieslak's testimony violated a provision in the lobby law, which prohibits lobbyists and public officials from making intentionally false statements or misrepresentations of material fact to legislators. Dr. Cieslak explained during preliminary review that he was mistaken and it would actually take 8 months for an 8-year-old child to catch up on vaccination prior to being able to attend school if the bill passed. Information available is insufficient to find cause to believe that the doctor intentionally made a false statement of material fact to legislators in violation of the law. The report's in your meeting book with a recommendation to dismiss.
Okay, are there any questions of staff? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion with respect to item number 50.
I move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have a question before we vote, if
yes.
Permissible.
To Commissioner
staff.
Fiskum.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at page 278, staff, about line 18 and onward, especially line 20. the words are, also it appears that efforts were made by the OHA's government relations office to clarify the issue with the legislative committee. Do we know so far what whether actions actually were taken to clarify the record?
I didn't. I just got the email from the policy analyst at OHA's government relations, which was worded interestingly. We worked with legislators and provided information before and after committee hearings to clarify any questions or concerns. So I think what happened was Dr. Sislak's office received the complaint, who was the original complainant to us, was also the complainant to the Oregon Health Authority about the same matter, and they CC'd that complaint to the policy analyst, and their response that said 8 months. So I assume that they assumed that it would be passed on to the legislature, but I don't know if that was ever done.
Yes, Chair, I would just add that I'm not raising questions about Commissioner Sosa's motion except to say that as a now retired lobbyist for 25 years, not to mention a government official before that, if you make a comment to the legislature which appears not to be true and you don't specifically in a timely fashion correct that, your credibility is potentially gravely at issue in the future. I would have been happier had there been no disrespect to staff for this process so far, if there would have been a clear indication that efforts were made to correct the record that even Mr. Dr. Sislak, if I'm pronouncing his name right, said was an error. Mm-hmm. So that's a concern for me that won't go against the motion, but it's if I was advising the Oregon Health Authority, I would say you've got to do better than that.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Unless there is additional discussion, we'll go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Having said that.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Complaint is dismissed. Now, with matter of 51 Lori Wimmer, I will disclose that I often have spirited debates with Ms. Wimmer on Facebook, but I anticipate that none of these debates would color my ability to participate or vote on this matter objectively. So that disclosed. Staff report, please.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Lori Wimmer is a lobbyist for the Oregon Education Association, and she also testified during the recent legislative session on the same bill that was described earlier about eliminating non-medical exemptions for state-required vaccination for children to attend school. The complaint alleged that Ms. Wimmer's statements to legislators violated a lobby law which prohibits lobbyists and public officials from making intentionally false statements or misrepresentations of material facts to legislators. Information available was insufficient to find cause to believe that Ms. Wimmer may have violated this law. The report's in your meeting books with a recommendation to dismiss the complaint. Ms. Wimmer is represented by attorney Margaret Olney in this matter. Ms. Olney notified me that neither she nor her client would be able to attend today.
Okay. Are there any questions of staff? Discussion, or I'll entertain a motion.
Move that we adopt staff recommendations.
Commissioner Sosa, so moves. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we are now jumping through the wormhole of our agenda and going to item number 63, the matter of Mr. Jeffrey Cotton.
Chair Burke, this gentleman is going to participate by phone, so okay. I will call him.
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Maybe you have to do an interpretive dance while you're dialing it before we'll go through. Gosh, I thought that was funny.
Good morning, Mr. Cotton. This is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and I'm going to turn you over to our chair, Chair Burke.
Hello, Mr. Cotton. This is Richard Burke of the Ethics Commission.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being available to join us today. I'm going to go over the procedure here. What we'll do is we will have a staff report first that will go over the case. If you like, after the staff report, commissioners may have questions of staff. And then after those questions are asked and answered, you'll have an opportunity to say whatever you want or ask whatever questions you want. Then commissioners might ask you questions. And after that, the board will deliberate and come to some kind of a decision. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you very much. And if you cannot hear, please let us know, and we'll do whatever we can to make sure that you can hear us clearly. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's go to a staff report.
Chair Burke, commissioners. Item 63 is preliminary review report for a case involving Jeffrey Cotton, the former manager of the Burns Municipal Airport. Before I get started, I want to alert you that he did provide some supplemental information earlier this week that was provided to you this morning. At our last meeting in July, the Commission considered information concerning Mr. Cotton's federal indictment and plea agreement and opened this preliminary review on its own motion. During the preliminary review, we gathered information from the indictment, from Mr. Cotton, the City of Burns, and the State Surplus Property Division. Information indicates that as airport manager, Jeffrey Cotton used the federal GSA access program to obtain used vehicles and equipment, some or all of which may have been totaled and or inoperable. GSA access offers these items free of charge to state and local governments, but the federal program requires that the items not be sold or transferred or traded for at least 18 months. The federal indictment alleged that Jeffrey Cotton obtained the vehicles and equipment and then transferred title and possession to himself or to his nonprofit corporation, Emergency Equipment Solutions. Federal rules set the value of items at their original acquisition cost, not the fair market value at the time of transfer. Thus, the indictment set the value of items acquired by Jeffrey Cotton at $1.2 million. Mr. Cotton explained that the City of Burns had a long-standing practice of obtaining free vehicles and equipment and then selling them in order to raise funds for airport operations. The city did not offer or have any funds budgeted to fix up the vehicles, so he would transfer them to his nonprofit corporation, which would then pay to fix them up and return them to the city. He denies ever obtaining any personal financial benefit from these transactions. The city manager provided a report alleging that Mr. Cotton had obtained and disposed of items without the city's knowledge and may have even been renting out one of the trucks that allegedly belonged to the airport. The city manager also included allegations that he was asking for money for use from customers for use of the airport's courtesy car, and that his nonprofit corporation was paid by the Smoke Jumpers for their use of the airport terminal. We are recommending that the commission open an investigation in this matter so that we can try to get to the bottom of the varying allegations and determine whether there are violations of 244040 and 244120. Additionally, we need to determine whether Emergency Equipment Solutions is actually a business with which Mr. Cotton is associated for purposes of this analysis, because it is a nonprofit and it is unclear whether he was remunerated.
Okay, very good. Are there any questions for staff on this matter? Okay, do you have any questions, Mr. Cotton?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Could you hear that clearly?
Yes, I did.
Okay, very good. Would you like to say anything at this point? Go ahead.
She and I have gone over everything that she's got and is going to give you guys today, so I'm pretty familiar with what you guys are giving. So.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to add?
No. I guess a statement to that, yes, I was hired as the airport manager. Yes, I was to get GSA equipment. I was told that GSA equipment was only to be held for a year, and that's the day that I left. Before that, I had no notification whatsoever. And there's a lot of equipment that we did not hang on to for a year. And I never had to ask council for anything as long as I got sales results that helped the airport stay out of the red.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for either staff or Mr. Cotton? Okay. Going once? Going twice? Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Cotton. At this point, we'll go into board discussion, and I'll entertain a motion if there is one.
I move that we adopt staff recommendations.
Okay, Commissioner Sosa moves that we adopt staff recommendation. We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Fisco?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, the motion has passed. Mr. Cotton, thank you very much for being on the call, being available today. Our staff will be in touch with you, and I hope you have a better weekend.
Okay.
Okay, take care. Okay, I think that concludes the reports of preliminary review, and we'll go to all motion preliminary reviews. Number 64.
Chair Burke, Commissioner Valerie Applegate was an employee of the Department of Motor Vehicles Office in Southeast Portland and a public official. Do you want me to start with one?